Welcome to the Doubles Only Tennis Podcast, where you learn the best doubles strategies to improve your game and win more matches. I'm your host, Will Bocek. This podcast, my website, and my weekly newsletter all focus on the goal of better understanding the sport of doubles and helping players like you improve faster through actionable advice that you can use in your very next match. My goal is to provide the best doubles strategy resources in the world. And to do that, I study, analyze, and work with players at every level of the game, all the way up to the ATP and WTA tours. If you enjoy this podcast, I've created double strategy products that go even deeper if you want to take your doubles knowledge to the next level. At the end of this episode, I'll explain more about them, or if you want to learn more now, go to thetennistribe.com/products. Here's today's episode. You're about to hear another short interview from the Miami Open, this time with Rajiv Ram, who's been on the podcast several times at this point, but this time I'm able to get his doubles partner, Joe Salisbury, on. So they're both top 10 doubles players right now. They won the U.S. Open last year. They've actually won the U.S. Open for 3 years in a row now. So they've been really a staple on the men's doubles tour for a while. And in this conversation, Adam from Florida Tennis Magazine actually joins me, so you're going to hear him ask a few questions as well. And if you're not familiar with these post-match interviews, or if you haven't listened to me explain it in the past, how this works is I actually submit requests at the beginning of each day of the tournament to the ATP and WTA requesting player interviews. And 9 times out of 10, I'm the only one that's requesting these interviews for the winner of a particular doubles match. But in all of these Miami interviews that you've listened to, we've got one more to go that's going to be coming out tomorrow, I believe. I'm the only one interviewing the players. But in this one, there was someone else, and that is Adam from Florida Tennis Magazine. So it was good to see someone else covering the doubles a little bit and trying to promote the doubles. And they actually ended up sitting down with me, and I did an interview with Adam myself that they posted on their website, which I'll link to in the show notes if you want to check that out. So they were really, really nice with their time. But in this conversation with Raj and Joe, we talk about their match that they had just won over Stefano Tsitsipas and Kokkinakis. And we talk a little bit about the mindset and the tactics that it takes to play two really good singles players versus playing a doubles team. There was a specific thing that I noticed during the match where they were taking their first volley to Kokkinakis' backhand, and then they started to volley through the middle when they were both up at the net. So I asked them a little bit about that. We also talk about team chemistry, how it helps having played together for so long and how that affects their matchups early in the season. We talk about changes potentially coming to the doubles tour. We talk about how they play differently versus singles players, which I mentioned. We talk about how to train for no add and pressure points. I really liked their answer to that a lot. And then at the end, Adam asked, what can club-level players learn by watching the pros? And Rajiv Ram's answer to this is fantastic. It has nothing to do with tennis. And it is something that we should all really take into our own game and apply to our own game and try to implement out on the court with our doubles partner. So definitely stay till the end and listen to his answer to that. So without further delay, enjoy this 10-minute or so post-match interview with Rajiv Ram and Joe Salisbury.
Wanted to just get your thoughts on the match overall. Obviously, two really good singles players. Pretty tight match. What was kind of the difference or some of the key differences?
Yeah, it was a very tight match. I think it didn't come down to much. I think we played some good points on their serve to get a couple breaks. Yeah, it was tough conditions. It was pretty windy. I think everyone served pretty well, so it was tough to get into the return games at times. But yeah, we just did well to play well at the end of the set. So we got the break, end of the first set, and then we played a few really good points in the tie break as well in the second set.
Same question?
Yeah.
I don't have much more. I thought we stuck together. The other thing is, you know, we obviously play together as a team. It's, you know, I think that is a big difference in some of these matches, is we just know each other, obviously, at this point quite well. And I think that helps in these tight situations.
You guys are more than welcome to pick if you both want to answer it.
Sure.
You know, it's up to you. I thought if I'm remembering this correctly, the 6-5 game that propelled it to 6-6, what do you remember about that particular game? Do you remember that game?
Yeah, he missed a pretty bad shot.
That was that game.
He missed that shot on top of the net.
What was the score, man?
I think it was 40-30, so that would have taken it to juice. Yeah. But they played a pretty good game. They made every return get that game. It was a tough one to get out of to get to the tiebreak. I think we stayed pretty tough because I thought they started playing better and better. They were serving really well second set, and they were starting to make more returns. We did well to just kind of hang in there and play well in the time, right?
And how do you do that mentally? I'm sorry, I meant to jump in.
You're good.
I think it's something we talk about a lot. We are aware of it, and I think it's a big deal, especially in the doubles, of, you know, before a tiebreaker, that you need to raise the energy and raise the sort of enthusiasm on your side, and maybe the physicality to, you never know when it's, you know, going to have a chance. And I think even that game, we had a point where it was like, I think it was 15-all, where, yeah, Steph had a good return, Joe made a great first volley, a good close, and like the ball went over the head, and then, yeah, anyway, so those points, you know, those points sometimes come down to just a little bit more enthusiasm. It's not really about the tennis at that point, and sometimes those breakers are like that.
So one thing I noticed is you're taking most of your first volleys to Kokkinakis' backhand, and then once you got to the net, it seemed like you were playing through the middle a lot. Which obviously is a good double strategy in general, but do you feel like it's even more important to do that and not give these singles guys who are so good from the baseline an angle to get by you, or is there something else to that?
Obviously those two guys, they've got great forehands especially, so we're going to try and avoid that as much as possible. It kind of depends a bit where the space is on the court, but obviously, yeah, playing through the middle is good play, and kind of they've got less court to work with from there. Like you said, it's a bit of both.
And then Raj, at 4-3 in the tiebreaker, you had kind of a wild point where you ended up back and you had a ground stroke, both opponents are back, and you had the option there to go cross to Kokkinakis' backhand, and you actually went down the line to Tsitsipas' forehand, which kind of surprised me, and I think maybe it surprised them too. And he missed it in the net. Was that something that you did just to mix it up, or was there?
I remember that point. I didn't really go at his forehand. I kind of just went. I tried to go through the middle, and I feel like he kind of stepped around that one a little bit. Okay. I didn't hit it huge, but I wasn't purposely trying to go to his forehand, but I was just trying to play through the middle a bit more on that one, because the same reason is that they're both back, that seems to put us in a, you know, better spot for especially Joe to get involved with the net.
So, I was sitting in the middle, so maybe I didn't have an angle for that.
I might have hit it there. I didn't mean to hit it there.
Okay.
Guys, from a big picture standpoint, you guys have had just enormous success, and you seem to have an unbelievable chemistry out there. Do you attribute that to just hard work? Are you good friends off the court? How do you attribute that amazing chemistry that you guys have out there?
I mean, I think I attribute it to all of that. You know, I think there's definitely when you're a doubles team, there is an off the court component to it. You know, I mean, this is our sixth year together. We spend a lot of time together, so I think it's important to get along well, which we do, and communicate, and know when it's time to sort of do some of the stuff together, know when it's time to maybe do your own thing a little bit. I think some of that's pretty important, and I think it is a big reason why we've had some of the big success that we have had.
You're welcome, Joe, if you want to.
Yeah, I think we just know the importance of it. I mean, it's
a big part of doubles, how well you kind of play as a team and how you interact with your partner. It affects the game a lot. It affects how you play, how your partner plays. So I think we just make sure we do that. really well, because we know that it gives us a big advantage if we do that better than our opponents.
Do you feel like that has an advantage early in the year, since these other teams are still trying to find their chemistry? Or maybe it's even a disadvantage because y'all are playing maybe the same people but new teams that you've never faced as partners before?
I don't know if we really thought about it too much. I guess I just know that I feel like if we do that well, it's always an advantage for us. So regardless of who's on the other side, I mean, it could be singles guys that don't play much. It could be a new team. It could be a veteran team. But I just feel like if we communicate and interact well and have good team energy, it gives us the best chance to win.
Any thoughts on, obviously there's a lot of conversation going on the tour with potential changes over the next few years. Rajiv, you and I have talked about how to make doubles more popular. Joe, I've never talked to you about this, but if you can share just your thoughts on like what needs to change in doubles to make it more popular. And then Rajiv, if you want to comment on anything that, you know, is going on the tour that you've heard that you'd like to see over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the main things is just the marketing of it. I think a lot of people enjoy watching doubles. I think, as you saw today, I mean, we had a great crowd out there. I mean, obviously, a lot of them came to see Tsitsipas and Kokkinakis, and I think people like seeing like the people they know. So obviously the big names in the singles that people know a lot more, but I think if they promoted the doubles more, people got to know the doubles players a bit more and promoted the matches, then I think people would want to watch it more than they do. So I think that's definitely a big thing. But yeah, as for other stuff, I guess, yeah, I haven't thought about it too much, but I'd say how much they kind of promote it is
one of the main
number
things.
One, yeah. For me, I think that's it. I think people like to watch people they know and they've heard of, and I think it would be great if we could get a little bit more that in the doubles in terms of the players. You tell their stories and tell them, you know, tell people where they came from and how they got to where they got to, and I think that's pretty important. And as far as what I've heard, I mean, I've heard a lot of things, you know. Is it a split, you know, is there going to be a different tour, is it going to be a premier tour, is it going to be not much change? So I can't really say that I know anything. I think I'm in the dark just like everyone else, but I've definitely heard a lot of things, and you've seen that with some other sports as well as some influences from other places. And so I think it's going to be an interesting 12 months.
You guys have touched on this. You're an elite doubles team, and you're going against guys who are not traditional doubles players necessarily. Kokkinakis has had some success, but do you go in with a different mindset when you're playing a non-traditional doubles team, or is it just find the weakest link when you're out there?
I mean, not really a different mindset in terms of the people that we're playing, more just in terms of the tactics. I mean, obviously they play differently. Most of the singles guys, they serve and stay back. They're at the back of the court more than they're at the net. So that's the main difference, and that means we need to do things a little bit differently ourselves. But I think, yeah, we know that if we play our game and play our way and not kind of, yeah, play kind of how we want to play rather than how they would like it to go, then we give ourselves the best chance, and that we can, yeah, I think that often the doubles played well is often beats the singles players how they play. But obviously, yeah, you need to do it well.
I was going to ask you, do you feel the same way? Doubles played well, beats those singles players?
I do. Yeah, I think these tournaments are a great way to prove that. Because a lot of the singles players do play in these events, but quite often it is the doubles guys that do win it. I mean, I understand in the Grand Slams we don't have as many singles guys playing, but these ones you do, and you know, most of the time you see the doubles teams that are at the end of it.
Sure. That's all I got. Thanks, guys.
I just had one more.
Sure. One more.
If you don't mind. There's no ad scoring. So many of these elite doubles matches, like you guys are playing, come down to like 1 or 2 points. Can you train for that, or is it just like, again, hard work and practice? I mean, you guys know instinctively this is the big point usually. Can you train for that?
I think you can. I think one of the things we do is we actually like compete a lot in practice. You know, we make it, we score. It's not just you're out there hitting balls, you're out there, you know, trying to win a game. I mean, you know, yeah, we all know that those deuce points are huge. And, you know, I think the more you can practice with a purpose, the more it helps.
And finally, do you feel the same way, by the way?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's obviously tough to replicate exactly how it is in a match in terms of the pressure and the importance of one point. But, yeah, I think you kind of treat it like when you're in the moment of the match, it's kind of just treating it like another point rather than kind of thinking that it's, yeah, any bigger than any other one.
Lastly, guys, and thank you for your time.
Sure.
So many club players play doubles. And they come out and watch you guys. What do you think at their level they can take away from your level?
I mean, I think the biggest thing that we all have in common is the fact that we try and set a good environment for our partner, which is something that's got nothing to do with tennis. It's got nothing to do with serves and returns and forehands and backhands. But, like, if you're a club player and you're out there and your partner misses a shot and you hang your head, like, how do you think they're going to feel? They're probably not going to enjoy that very much. So we try and not do that to each other the best that we can to provide that environment for your partner. I get this question all the time, and it's never about tennis, because, I mean, obviously, there's a decent gap between the levels, but that is not something that should be any different, I don't think.
Do you feel the same way, Joe?
Yeah, definitely agree with that. And I think in terms of, yeah, playing-wise, I think when people, yeah, maybe play, it's like they have two people on a court playing separately rather than playing as a team. So I think often you should be trying to hit shots to set your partner up. You might be hitting a serve so that they have a volley that they can knock off, or you hit a return so then they have a tough shot so your partner can get involved. So it's kind of playing so that, yeah, you can set yourself up or your partner up for the next shot rather than trying to just win it on your own.
Guys, thank you so much.
Sure, thanks, guys.
And really, best of luck.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Doubles Only podcast. If you're interested in diving deeper into any topics I discuss, I've created double strategy products that allow me to bring you more podcasts and other doubles content without relying on paid ads. I have ebooks and courses that help you make better strategic decisions during matches and become the smartest player on the court. Go to thetennistribe.com/products to learn more. You can also join my free weekly double strategy newsletter that includes video lessons and more on our homepage. If you want to connect, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or email me directly, will@thetennistribe.com.